You're listening to Dead FM, the DG Update podcast, and whatever the hell else we decide to jam into your brain meats.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of Dead FM. Today on the show, DG news and updates, more intimate advice by Bob Ross, and the time-trotting adventures of Kentucky Blue Clay. Also, I, Don Early, will give you my two cents. And now the news. We have a Redbubble account. Yeah, that's that online store thing. Yeah, we have one of those now. And for the holidays, we decided to go ahead and cut our margins in half. So go over there to Redbubble. There's a link on this podcast. And pick up some overpriced yet quality and available DG items. The Demon Hunters role-playing game pre-order store is live. If you missed the Kickstarter, you can order the new game, pick up some awesome dice or a dice bag, or other Demon Hunters-themed items. Just head over to DemonHuntersRPG.com. While we're talking about Demon Hunters, don't forget to head over to demon-hunters.com and check out the webcomic. Every Tuesday is Demon Hunters Tuesday. We are getting introduced to a new character. This morning, we have started work on our YouTube development plan for Dead Gentleman Productions, taking in some strong recommendations to consider something like Syphilitic Ninja Vampires as a series for YouTube specifically. No agreements have been signed yet, but Aaron Bowman and Gabriel Gonda are verbally interested in committing to that. I spoke with them on email, and they seem to be pretty jazzed. House Rules with a Z.TV. Go check it out. You know, this is a project that really shaping up to be a fascinating show. Something that was an experiment. Really, I'm so glad for Sarah Sanders Odie and Chris Odie for sticking with the project and believing in it for so long. Hope to have them on the show to talk about it. But go check it out. House Rules, HOUSERULEZ.TV. And finally, this week, opening on Thursday, Evan and Bobby, a Twisted Christmas Carol. Bobby Cratchit works for Evan Scrooge. She also sleeps with him. Once that made her happy, but now she's an emotional and sexual hostage to Scrooge, holding on to her job to keep health benefits for her son, Timmy, and sleeping with the boss to preserve her job. Evan and Bobby's relationship has deteriorated into something very toxic, and she has stopped hoping for anything better. Last year, Evan and Bobby won Stage Rights Christmas Carol Experiment, and now you can see the complete vision of this subversive modern retelling of the Christmas classic. Concept is actually done by our own Andy Dobrowski, written by Beau Pritchard and Tom Stewart. Cast includes Brian Bender, Jennifer Riffenberry, Scott C. Brown, Danica Gollenbeck, and Dylan Twiner. Hopefully I pronounced your names correctly, but I apologize if I butchered it. Show is directed by Beau Pritchard. There's only going to be 7 shows starting this Thursday, December 4th, going to December 13th. Tickets are on sale over now, so head over to confrontationaltheater.com, and that's E-R, not R-E, on the theater. Posting links at Dead FM as well. And that's the news.
Having trouble in the bedroom? Bob Ross answers your sexual questions in his segment, Happy Little Accidents.
Hey, Bob. This is, Tom Scranton. So, I am in an open relationship, and we have a preferred third. My wife and I are in our early 30s, and our, third has just turned 40. I feel like she's, the third, that is, you know, I feel like she's viewing the whole thing as a competition. Now, I try to make sure I'm actively involved with both of them, you know, because that's how I am, but I just feel like I'm losing her interest. Is there anything I could do for her?
She's about to the age where she's not going to be friendly anymore. Just have a super time together. Work on one bush at a time. Don't get too carried away. We have plenty of time. So it's all wet and ready to go. So let's have some fun. one little bush at a time.
I remember the first time I saw Star Wars: A New Hope. I was in kindergarten, and of course then it was just called Star Wars. It was going to be on network television, and it was a special treat to get the family together. I got to stay up and watch the whole amazing movie. That, of course, started the Star Wars everything for me. I distinctly remember actually going to the theater to see Return of the Jedi. I remember role-playing in the yard that reveal between Vader and Luke, "I am your father," complete with plastic lightsabers that somewhat effectively whooshed when you swung it. When it came to the toys, however, my first and second loves were He-Man and Transformers, respectively. It wasn't in our family's budget to fit Star Wars in as well. This seemed to be the case with the rest of my friends. Someone had the toy set, someone else was lacking. I and a couple other friends had most of the He-Man figures, castles, and vehicles. I recall having the original green 6-vehicle set of the Constructicons that, of course, assembled into one of the very best toys of the imagination ever, Devastator. Give me Devastator over Voltron any day. I, of course, had the Prince of Mechanical Lions as well, but I think that's because the adults in my life thought they were all Transformers, and that's what I loved. I had a friend growing up that was several years older than me. His parents were friends with my parents, and we were left to play together, despite our age differences. But he had the best collection of Star Wars figures and other toys today that would be worth thousands, if not tens of thousands. I mean, he had the AT-AT, the AT-ST, the A-Wing, the X-Wing, and of course the giant and coveted Millennium Falcon. God damn, that toy was the best. I'm excited right now just remembering it. I would go into Travis's room and he had the whole scene laid out. A miniature set right out of his own Star Wars movie, right in his imagination. Everyone wanted to be a Jedi. Just to be able to force pull an object you wanted from across the room, I think everyone fantasized about that since I can remember. This was all well before the special edition 20th anniversary Lucas bloat cuts. And obviously before we were introduced to the prequels. We dreamed about the origins of Darth Vader and his fall. I, of course, read at least the Timothy Zahn initial trilogy and Shadows of the Empire. Then we had The Phantom Menace. Probably the most exciting thing to happen to Star Wars at that point. I remember going to see it in college. College, where Mario Kart 64, Homer, and second edition D&D ruled my day. It was a really big deal to all of us to see the new Star Wars. I mean, this is episode one. I'm pretty sure most of us saw it 5 times at least in the theaters, maybe hoping it would have gotten better if we saw it again. I remember it was still pretty damn good that year, and that we were all crazy with Star Wars excitement, hoping someday that Lucas would release the original theatrical versions of Star Wars trilogy, episodes 4-6, of course. But it wasn't long before the realization that these new movies really were awful. For those of us who grew up with the original Star Wars, Indiana Jones, E.T., Flight of the Navigator, Explorers, The Goonies, I could go on. This new canon, let's face it, it crushed a lot of what we loved about Star Wars. Maybe new generations would appreciate it, but for us, this was hard. Like many in my generation, I missed the Force and the wonder and the Empire when Darth Vader was a badass and not, well, lame. Now, I don't blame Hayden Christensen, by the way. He embraced the role and the vision, and he did a fine job. It's just the vision I think most of us lament. So much so that I know that there's a documentary about it, probably a few. But this whole dick stew about Lucas raping your childhood over these prequels, what is that? Even Michael Bay with Transformers, and let me tell you, this hits close to home. Or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but raped my childhood? Folks, this is nothing like Lucas putting his dick in my 6-year-old mouth. Stop using that language. It's awful and it's not true. And this language is pretty terrifying, actually. What these guys did, Michael Bay and Lucas, was completely have a different vision for those beloved franchises than what we did as fans. End of story. And Michael Bay should go to creative jail, which is a place I just made up that causes you to stop disappointing people with adolescent drivel. Again, I say but. Over 2 years ago, we old school fans got the best potential news that Disney was buying Star Wars from Lucas. Granted, there were some severe reservations, but if that was happening, we all knew we'd get a lot more Star Wars. This last week, we got what I think is the most exciting Star Wars thing I have seen or felt in the past 30 years. I'm speaking, of course, to the new teaser for Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Now, I know people gripe about that title, and sure, maybe there could be another one. Titles are hard. And need I remind you that Empire Strikes Back was kind of a crappy title, too, if you think about it. But it was the movie that made it awesome. But after I saw this teaser, and it is a teaser, it's not a trailer. We don't even know what this movie is about yet. I realized that my heart was racing, and I was filled with emotion when I saw that Millennium Falcon soar. I'm talking about hairs on the back of my neck standing up, and I have a few of those. I'm willing to bet others were close to tears of joy and excitement at that sight. The X-wings in formation. It reminded me of being back in my childhood friend's room in some imaginative story we were inventing 30 years ago. I knew immediately one thing that would be causing nerd rage, though. And I speak, of course, to the broadsword-style lightsaber. Frankly, whatever. It looked pretty badass, and it's also corny. You know what else looked badass and corny? A lightsaber. More than 30 years ago, a frickin' laser sword. Super cool, but also kinda silly. Filmation would capitalize on that with a character of Seahawk on She-Ra, but that's another rant for another time. I, of course, watched the teaser again, still really excited in all the sense that I remember the original movies. The first character to show up on screen, though, played by John Boyega, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. A black stormtrooper. You know what went through my head? Wow. So it was true that stormtroopers in the original movies were just recruits and soldiers. Later on, the prequels would make stormtroopers into clones of Jango Fett. But I always thought, since the prequels, that the stormtroopers probably mostly made up of recruits and you know, military types. By the time A New Hope story kicks in, due to what I assume would be a scarcity of clones. But that's thinking about story. Then it also occurred to me that, you know, Han and Luke put on stormtrooper armor in A New Hope, and they weren't stormtroopers, obviously. So maybe John Boyega's character was also disguising himself as a stormtrooper. Either way, I immediately wanted to know this guy's story. He's frantic. He's stressed. I want to know what's up. You know what I didn't think? Aw, shit. We have a black stormtrooper. My life is over. They are fucking this up so bad. You can't have a black stormtrooper. But let's say you don't believe me. Let's say you think that this racist backlash I'm alluding to is invented. I dare you to go to Twitter and search for the words Star Wars nigger. You know why? Because some of you are too nice to search for such an awful combination of words, but turns out what you actually find is more frightening. You have to search for what racists would say, and frankly, in 2014, I'm probably more appalled than I would have been 20 years ago. What the hell? The thought had not even occurred to me that the first character that pops up on the screen would cause the internets to erupt in a racist outrage. And that even the second character that appears is a woman. And apparently that's a big deal too. What the hell decade do we live in? I can't even call this nerd rage. It's just racist and bullshit. Holy shit, folks. Did you know that there are black people in the Marines? Because it's about as shocking. I read on the Mary Sue tweets that were calling J.J. Abrams an SJW. I'm a little dyslexic sometimes, and so I immediately read Wall Street Journal. And that, of course, didn't make any sense. He's sound with money? SJW. Oh, wait. WTF is SJW. Well, read on, Early. Social Justice Warrior. What? First off, as a linguist, this seems a bit of a contradictive term, but labels often are. But the fact that a social justice warrior is supposed to be a derisive term informs me greatly about the loudness of the interweb trolls. Wow, he put a black man and a white woman in the beginning of a Star Wars teaser. I gotta say, I love Boyega's response to all this horseshit. Quote, get used to it. John, I thought we were already. I'm embarrassed as a fan. Hello, Lando? Hello, General Akbar? You know, I thought the Squidhead comments were pretty lowbrow back in the day. And now I'm outraged by the fact that these racist and sexist a-holes are distinguishing themselves as geeks and nerds, and they're getting attention for it. It isn't Disney or J.J. Abrams ruining the new Star Wars teaser. It's the so-called fans. But I'm going to come out with my own probable racism. I confess, when Michael Clark Duncan was cast as Kingpin in the Daredevil movie, I was pissed. My fandom following of the Punisher, Daredevil, and Fantastic Four comics had me used to a very large white guy. Being a powerful mobster, I would have bought into any ideas from the Godfather movies or the Sopranos. But it bothered me because up to that point, there was no precedence for the character being black. Sam Jackson as Nick Fury did not piss me off, however, because there was already a new incarnation of the character of Nick Fury. The subject of fandom has always been whitely dominated, so I was glad to see a new version in the comics. And I like the Sam Jackson version of Nick Fury a bit better, to be honest. And let's face it, even in the comics, he looks like Sam Jackson. But then there's the new Fantastic Four movie with, of course, Michael B. Jordan, a black actor playing Johnny Storm, the brother of Sue Storm, who in the movie is being played by the white Kate Mara. And my nerd rage, I have to admit, kind of went off. And I'm trying to defend it as not racist in this instance, but what the hell are they doing in this movie anyway? There's no precedence for Johnny Storm being black. And I'm not saying he can't be, but let's face it. At this point, with what's going on, especially regarding Doom, casting is pretty low on the reasons why I'll not pay money to see this movie at this point. My final example is actually jumping over to the DC universe with Amanda Waller. One of my favorite DC comic characters, actually. Amazingly strong woman character. She's a person of color, black. She's the head of a major organization, and she's not the porn star body type. No, she's plus-sized. And she's smart. She's strategic. And then on the TV show Arrow, they go and cast the young and hot Cynthia Adai Johnson. Again, not sure about pronouncing there. But I don't know if this is supposed to be a younger, hotter version of Waller that we're used to, but DC has recently released a new, younger, hotter version of Waller too. And you know, I just don't agree that attractive and powerful women have to be young and hot. But you know what I'm missing? You know why my feelings are fairly racist? Hollywood is pretty racist. It's hard to get work when you're the wrong color or gender or body type because no one writes that. And if they do, no one wants to make that. Felicia Day wrote a great blog entry about this, and I think it was primarily in regard to Rooney Mara being cast as Tiger Lily in Pan, and why that was seriously disheartening, and why it's not the same as Michael B. Jordan playing Johnny Storm. After reading that, I felt the same way about Kobe Smulders playing Maria Hill, another white person claiming the role of a person of color, who... that's inherently in the character. It's part of the identity. I'm going to link Felicia Day's post so you can read it. Because it basically pointed out the fact that I'm kind of racist too when I want to defend it under character integrity or just I'm being a purist. I'm calling out my own bullshit. Like Boyega said, we need to get used to it. Why in the hell are we flaming the internet about stupid shit like this? It's hurtful. We should all be SJWs, social justice warriors. Why in the hell don't we call it what it is? Being a decent human being. Now the voice on that teaser, they had me fooled it was Cumberbatch. It was actually Andy Serkis. Well played. May the precious be with you.
You're listening to Dead FM.
You by Cobbler's Crystals brand coffee, now with more radium in every cup. Start your day the Cobbler's way. Cobbler's Crystals.
It's that sound again, and you know what that means.
Hi, everybody.
It's your favorite time-traveling trickster, Kentucky Blue Clay.
If anyone asks, I was never here.
With a simple tap of a finger, Kentucky's chronoporter will open a door to another time and place. From the distant past to the far-flung future, wherever did he get such a marvelous machine? The world may never know.
I swiped it off a dead guy.
With Zoe Ad Astra, his faithful gal Friday, by his side...
What? No. That is not even a little bit right. Try again.
Zoe Ad Astra, his cycloptic colleague?
Don't love it.
And
go
constant?
On. Nope.
Frequent?
Keep going.
Occasional?
Proceed.
Companion by his side, they'll travel the time stream in search of adventure, excitement, and the treasures of antiquity.
I don't make history. I take it.
Join our heroes in tonight's clock-hopping caper, A Curse Before Dying, or Low-Down Dirty Thieves. Our story begins at an elegant and extravagantly expensive Parisian restaurant overlooking the River Seine.
Well, fess up, Tuck. Was I right or was I right? Of course, it's a rhetorical question.
I've hopped around human history from the dawn of man to the rise of the cephalopods. I've explored every nook and cranny this crazy blue marble has to offer. And Gingersnap, I've got to admit, that was by far the best damn mac and cheese I've ever had.
Ha-ha! I win!
Seriously, though, why does a restaurant this fancy serve mac and cheese in the first place? And in the middle of Paris? None of this makes any sense.
None of it makes sense, but it costs dollars. Well, euros. Lots of them, so...
Yeah. Dinner's on me. Tell you what, you flag down the waiter and I get the check while I excuse myself to the little Chrononauts room.
Hurry back. You still owe me dessert, and they're really big on letting you eat cake here. Ooh, I'm gonna get mine a la mode, but without the cake. Really? I just want ice cream.
Back in a flash!
Excuse me, monsieur.
Oui, madame. Was everything to your liking?
Wonderful, thank you. When you get a chance, could we get the... Damn it, Kentucky. Not again. One sec, Pierre. Oof. Ow.
Hello? Man, it's darker than midnight in a coal mine in here. Is somebody there? Marco!
Polo, you two-faced check dodger.
Zoe! Oh, hi. Wow, you're quick. Have you been working out? Oh, hey, this isn't the bathroom. I must have got turned around when
I... What the hell, Tuck? Again?
In my defense, you keep falling for it, Red. Look, I was totally gonna come back, just, you know, after you paid for dinner.
You are unbelievable.
Aw, thanks. Right back at you.
Not a compliment. You just can't see my angry face. Speaking of, why no lights? Where did you take us?
Not sure. I was in a bit of a hurry, so I just kind of pushed buttons at random until a portal opened up.
Well, portal us back then, dammit. You owe me dessert, and it's hotter than a Venusian summer in here.
Yeah, about that, the chronoporter's being a little wonky at the moment.
How wonky are we talking?
No big deal, just a little overheated. That's why I gently set it down on the cool stone floor.
You dropped your time machine again, didn't you?
You can't prove that. On an unrelated note, shovel around a little bit and see if you can bump into anything that feels time machine-y.
Ow! Okay, this isn't time machine-y, but I found a doorway to another room. I'm gonna check it out. See if I can find a way out of here. Or a light switch, or a better friend, or something.
Don't go too far! I can't be trusted alone.
Or with people, or pets, or nice things, or nouns.
Come on. I know I heard you bounce this way. Where the hell are... What's this? It was like Hey, papyrus. Lots of papyri.
Hey, Franks! I've cleverly deduced we're in Egypt!
But where in Egypt? I bet I could narrow it down if I translated these things. I just need some light. Ah, perfect! Thank you, Sunbeam!
Can you see anything, Carter?
Yes, wonderful things, my lord. Wonderful... Bugger all. Blue Clay? How in blazes did you get in there?
Howie! How the heck are you? Hey, Coppertop, get in here!
What is it, Carter? Is everything okay?
Everything's fine, sir. I simply wish to check for hazards. Won't be but a moment.
Who you got out there? Is that Lord Carnarvon? I should introduce myself, see if I can talk old moneybags into getting into the Kentucky Blue Clay business.
You will do nothing of the sort. What on earth are you doing here?
Ooh, you found light. All I found was more dark. Who's the bow tie?
The bow tie happens to be a good friend of mine. Zoe Dastra, meet Howard Carter. Archaeologist extraordinaire and discoverer of King Tut's tomb. Oh! Hey, good news. I figured out where we are.
Good friend. Good friend. After that business in Cairo? And now this, damn you, Blue Clay, you grave-robbing layabout. I've been digging for months in this godforsaken desert. You are not stealing another find from me. I've got half a mind to string you up by your...
Whoa, careful, Howie. There is a lady present.
There is? Where?
Sincere apologies, madam. A word of advice. Your traveling companion is a thief and a miscreant of the highest order. He is not to be trusted.
I know, right? We were just talking about that. Oh, hey, you dorks are all into this Egyptian crap, right? Tell me something. How'd they make those hieroglyphy things appear in midair?
Back of the bus there, Big Red. You lost me. What are you talking about?
All that glow-in-the-dark gibberish that popped up when I knocked something over in the other room? Is that like a hologram projector or something? They had those back then, right?
Wait, you broke something? Inside an Egyptian tomb? You don't do that, Red. That's like rule one of archaeologisting. Well, actually, rule one is never lose your hat, but that's not really relevant to the situation. What did you break?
How am I supposed to know? That room's got the opposite of light in it.
Well, do you remember the gibberish? What shapes there were?
Something like trippy eyeball, bird on stilts,
okay.
Goth tattoo,
yeah.
Angry snake, bunch of grass, dog head guy.
The guardians shall rise to protect their king from those who would defile his sacred tomb. Well, shit.
That doesn't sound great, Tuck. Egyptians were the cowboy guys, right? Are we about to get attacked by cowboys?
Mummy guys, not cowboys. And maybe?
This is absurd. You're a man of science, Blue Clay. Don't tell me you believe in that primitive superstitious claptrap.
You kidding? I've got a doctorate in primitive superstitious claptrap.
Enough of this. I want you out of here right this moment. Tutankhamun's tomb is my discovery, and I'm not about to let you...
Whoa, gesundheit. Why don't you really point that thing, Whiskers?
Terribly sorry.
Oh, gross. I think your buddy Carl's broken, Tuck. He's having a seizure.
I'm sneezing, madam, not seizing. And who the devil is Carl? My...
Oh, no! Now Carl has amnesia. Fix him.
I do apologize. I don't know what could be causing this. I normally only sneeze like this around...
Tuck, was that your stomach growling? How are you hungry already, and why does your stomach sound like an angry cat?
Dear Lord, what on earth is that?
That, my friends, is a kitty cat. More specifically, a kitty cat that died around 3,300 years ago and has been revived by ancient Egyptian magic to protect the pharaoh's tomb. Kitty, 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 kitty. Who's a reanimated sack of desiccated flesh? You are. Yes, you are.
That is preposterous. I've never heard anything so outlandish.
I know, right? This is a first for me, too. Kind of makes sense, though, when you think about it. Egyptians mummified way more cats than they did humans. I suppose it was just a matter of time before somebody woke up a cat mummy. My question is, how is this little guy supposed to fight off vandals or grave robbers or dashingly handsome adventure-having professor of applied chronology and his colleagues?
There's a reanimated, disemboweled cat corpse rubbing against my leg, yet somehow you're what's grossing me out. Congratulations, Tuck. As for the kitty, he's probably counting on strength in numbers.
You're right. That is a bit more intimidating.
But they're everywhere. They blocked off the entrance. How will we get out of here?
Good question. Also, how did I stumble around in the dark for so long without tripping over a single tiny cat sarcophagus? Just seems really unlikely.
They've locked us in! There's no escape! What will we do? Whatever will we do?
What will they do, folks? Is this the end of our heroes? Cornered in the catacombs by a creepy clouder of cadaverous cats? Can Kentucky and his companions break free from these fearsome felines? Tune in next time for the thrilling conclusion as...
Whoa! Take it down a notch, LaFontaine. I got this handled.
I'm sorry? Are you talking to me? I didn't think I was diegetic.
Look, I don't care if you're type 2 diegetic. Buddy, I get that you're trying to build a big cliffhanger, and yeah, they're a little creepy, but they're still just cats. I mean, I can just kind of shove them aside with my foot. See? I don't even have to get my hands dirty.
Yeah, hey, good point. In fact, these are kind of worse than cats now. Normal cats are a lot faster than this.
Yeah, being trapped in a room with this many living cats would be way scarier.
Oh, careful. That one's leg just fell off.
Oh, sorry, little guy.
Oh, but what about my excavation? I can't exactly go out and tell his lordship that we have to shut down due to cat mummies.
That is a puzzler. But I'm sure you'll figure something out, Howie. You're a smart... Hey, get off that! Found my chronoporter! Damn cat almost bedded under that gold lion couch.
Finally. Now let's get back to that restaurant. Don't think for a second that I'm letting you out of paying for dinner.
Aw, come on!
Oh no, you're not going anywhere until you help me deal with these abominations!
Freckles? Whiskers? I think I've got a plan that'll solve all our problems.
Heaven's name is that?
What are you up to now, Tuck?
Come on, guys! Grab a cat and start chucking!
I can't take you anywhere.
Less talk, more tabby tossing. Come on! You know, this might take a while. Hey, Talkie Tina, you still there?
Are you talking to me again?
Yeah, you want to help us out with this little flash forward for us? Narrate us past this boring stuff?
Oh, sure. Later. Back at the elegant and extravagantly expensive Parisian restaurant overlooking the River Seine.
Okay, Tuck. I admit, it was kind of fun once I got into the rhythm of it, but I don't see how time-holing all of those cats helps you pay for dinner.
Will you just trust me? Have I ever steered you wrong?
Almost constantly. Where did you send those things, anyway?
Ah, you have returned. Will there be anything else for you, monsieur? Madame?
No, thank you. I think we're all set.
Well, we will be. In 3, 2...
Mon Dieu! Qu'est-ce que c'est?
My good man, I am appalled! This restaurant is absolutely infested with mummy cats! I refuse to pay for such a shoddy dining experience!
Sweet Schrodinger, Tuck.
Come on, Z. Let's take our business someplace with a higher standard of quality. Mark my words! The city health inspector will be hearing of this!
Quit while you're ahead.
Deplorable!
You're gonna buy me so much ice cream.
And so we leave our heroes as they set out on a new journey through history on a quest for creamy, frozen deliciousness. Howard Carter's legacy is preserved. Mummified cats stalk the streets of Paris, and a restaurant is stuck eating the cost of a couple of overpriced bowls of macaroni and cheese. All in a day's work for Kentucky Blue
Dead FM. Don't forget to subscribe, dead.fm. Hit the subscribe button, whether you're on iTunes or RSS. This episode was directed by Don Early,
Contributors to the show are Don Early, Andy Dokorowski, Scott C. Brown, Brian Lewis, Jimmy McMichael, and Chris Dupenthaler. Dead FM theme song is brought to you by Steve Wolbrecht and Sean Bendixson and the Bendixson Brothers. Copyright 2014 by Dead Gentlemen Productions.
That was a motherfucking podcast. Give me the beat.